Hey guys, it's Robin. I'm super stoked to tell you about this killer new service, and I know that you or someone you know will be excited about it too. It's called Newtility. Newtility is a utility management company that's using technology to change the game. Now, I know what you may be thinking. Okay, why should I care? Well, let me tell you. Do you currently have roommates that you split your utility bills with? Are you tired of one of them forgetting to pay, another one sending it via Venmo, or someone, the classic, promising to pay you back? I mean, we have all been there. Are you a parent who's currently helping your child with their utilities? Or are you a landlord or property management company rep who just wants to simplify your involvement with your tenants? Maybe you're planning an upcoming move and you're just not yet sure which new utility companies you should choose in your new area. Or maybe you're just a busy professional who doesn't have the time to pour over 5 different invoices and then make those individual payments. No matter who you are, Newtility has you covered. It offers utility setup, bill splitting, a centralized invoice, and even usage monitoring. Have you ever received a higher than normal water or electricity bill only to discover that you had a leak or a problem? Newtility will notify you of the change in consumption. Total convenience. Get your first 3 months for free at Newtility.com when you use the code DEVIL3. Again, go to Newtility.com. That's Newtility, Newtility.com to get your first 3 months for free using our special code DEVIL3. You are listening to We Saw the Devil, an investigative and conversational true crime podcast that deep dives into fascinating criminal cases that are solved, unsolved, or ongoing. From America's Lori Vallow to Germany's Armin Mivas, we examine and discuss the world's most shocking cases. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to follow us online. Check us out at WeSawTheDevil.com and WeSawTheDevil on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can become part of the show by backing us on Patreon. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Saw the Devil. This is Robin, and I am on my own this evening. Jackie unfortunately could not make it, and we really wanted to get this episode out to complete our series on the Order of the Solar Temple. If you haven't, catch up on parts 1 and 2. They're actually pretty short, sweet episodes going through the history of the cult, the background. Part 1 is the background. Part 2 is kind of like the history of it, how it was created. And then this episode is the fallout, the suicides, the death, the destruction, all the crazy stuff. So catch up on parts 1 and 2 if you haven't. Tying into our last episode, which is the Lori Vallow update episode, don't forget that we are going to have a schedule now. So Mondays will be Lori Vallow and or a random case, depending on case news, Lori Vallow case news. Wednesdays will be our cult series. And then Friday is going to be our Patreon episode. And what we're going to do, if you are an executive producer of our Patreon, we are going to have you on. Pick your favorite true crime case, come on the show. Jackie and I will tell the story, and then you can interact and talk about it and discuss your love for true crime. So we're super, super excited to get back to business now. But before we get into this, let's just do quick housekeeping. You can find us at WeSawTheDevil.com, and then We Saw the Devil across the board, all across social media. If you look up We Saw the Devil, you will find us. Let's go ahead and get into this. So where we left off in the late 1980s on the previous episode. It was 1986, Luc Jouret moved to Quebec to help Joseph Dimambro establish the cult's headquarters. They basically fleeced tens of millions of dollars from wealthy members and donors, and so they were able to purchase this castle, this chalet, in Morin Heights, and then brought over a handful of their loyal followers from Switzerland to take up residency in that castle. Dimambro, Joseph Dimambro, if you recall in our previous episode, he was, you know, heavier, a little bit nerdier, different. He was the brains behind the entire operation. Members actually secretly called him the dictator. On the other hand, Luc Jouret was attractive and successful, If you recall, he was a holistic doctor, a physician, very into New Age, and did a lot of speaking engagements that had a lot of attention. A lot of people showed up to listen to him speak. So between the two of them, you have the attractive face on the outside, and then Joseph DeMombro, who is the brains behind the scene. It was a perfect match. Luc Jouret himself, a complete narcissist, believed that he was the third reincarnation of Jesus Christ, and believed that, of course, you know, like all of the groups do, that the end time was near. His most loyal and devout followers believed that he was actually a Knights Templar in one of his previous lives, and that at the end of the world, he would lead them to a faraway planet orbiting the dog star Sirius. And of course, don't forget that Luc Jouret and Joseph DeMombro had sexual relations with women from the group because, of course, I mean, really, can we get, you know, honestly, I was really surprised in Heaven's Gate when we covered it that there was no sex going on. It was a sexless cult. On the other polar opposite end of this, of course, being manipulative, you know, pretty much rapists that they were, Luc Jouret and Joseph DeMombro had sex with women from the group. Luc Jouret, in particular, would select one woman before each weekly ritual, claiming that she gave him, quote, spiritual strength. If one of them, one of the two men, found themselves favoring a particular woman from the group, it was actually common for them to tell her and her boyfriend or husband, right, like whoever her partner or spouse was, that that relationship was not, quote, cosmically compatible in order to isolate that woman further. So they really went all in on the manipulation and emotional, verbal manipulation. I mean, they were pieces of crap. Now, in 1993, a handful of the Order of Solar Temple members were arrested trying to buy handguns. Luc Jouret had ordered the group to stockpile guns and ammunition for the end of the world. And of course, if you're trying to create this mass arsenal of weaponry, that puts you on police radar pretty damn quick. But because many of the members in the group were well known, and we're talking upper class guys, we're talking about people who are at the upper echelon of like national governments, media empires, industry, gas and oil companies, or even some big Hollywood actors and actresses. After people were busted trying to stockpile weapons, a lot of these well-known celebrity members didn't want to be publicly associated anymore. They started to pull away. And what that meant is, more importantly, if you have millionaires leaving your group, you know, in mass, those large-ass cash donations are going to go with them. Luc Jouret ended up pleading guilty to weapons charges, and he left Canada and went back to Switzerland. Everybody back in Switzerland now. So you know that Morin-Hite chalet, the castle that they had outside of Quebec? Tony Dutoit was a member of the group and an occasional handyman for Joseph DeMombro. And if you recall in our previous episode, Joseph DeMombro was a fan of these big, lavish, crazy stunts. He was really good with electrical and wiring, and he learned magic as a kid. So what he would do is he would actually rig up the stage in the room that they held the, quote, ceremonies in, and he would have, like, fake ghosts swirling around and colors and sounds, and these poor followers believed that that was actually happening. So Tony Dutoit was actually, like, a handyman who helped him get all of that together. He knew the secrets. He was, like, a man behind the curtain, right? Well, Tony learned that Joseph DeMombro, the creator and founder of this, was embezzling money from the cult's coffers for his own personal use. He was pissed. And this started a massive scandal because he told all of the other members. He's like, hey, we're in here, you know, doing X, Y, and Z. The women are, you know, screwing him. The men are like being separated. And this asshole is taking our money and using it for personal gain. So that caused a massive scandal, and disillusionment set in with the group. A handful of members left again, further devastating the finances of the group. Now, Dutoit and his wife Nikki used to make the ceremonial capes for the group. The group had very, very, very bright, colorful capes and robes that they used for all of their ceremonies. And you can find pictures of this online. If you Google Order of the Solar Temple, you can see how they have very colorful, distinct robes. A lot of them have the Templar insignia on them, but they're very, very distinct. They left the group in 1991, but their troubles did not stop there. In fact, they were amplified because Tony Dutoit became a very public voice against the Order of the Solar Temple. By this time, in early 1991, the entirety of Canada was pretty much aware of who they were, and they're like, I don't think so. That's cult. What is it that My Favorite Murder says? Call your dad, you're in a cult. Everybody knew that that was cult. Tony Dutoit was very, very publicly against the Order of the Solar Temple. And he told everyone. He told everyone about the fake magic acts, the fake spiritualism, the electrical and handyman work that he did for Joseph DeMombro, and he told everyone. And he was crossing a very dangerous and well-connected cult, infinitely stronger and more dangerous than Heaven's Gate or even Nixium. And this led to a devastating result on October 4th of 1994. After Tony Dutoit's departure, Joseph DeMombro began to preach to his followers that Tony was evil. And the Order of the Solar Temple followers totally ate it up. Joseph DeMombro literally held a grudge for 3 full years and then implemented his plan once he learned that Tony Dutoit and his wife Nikki had a newborn son. So what did he do? He told his followers that this newborn child was the Antichrist and that that child was going to rise up and destroy the group. So what does Joseph DeMombro do? He hired 34-year-old Joel Egger, one of the most devout and loyal followers, to murder Dutoit and his family. Now, everyone was in Switzerland at this point, right? They left Canada, they left Quebec, they went to Switzerland, and that's where the bigwigs were, but there were still people living in the chalet in Quebec, in Warren Heights. So Egger hopped on a plane in Switzerland and flew to Quebec. And shortly after his arrival on October 4th, 1994, Dutoit, his wife, and their infant son, Emmanuel, went to the chalet in Warren Heights at the invitation of some of their old friends. They were an older Swiss couple called the Genudes. The Genudes were active members of the group, but they had been very close friends with the Dutoits. So the Dutoits, even though they were no longer in the group, they were like, okay, well, we'll just go see our friends, have some dinner, and show them our new baby. Unfortunately, the Dutoits were attacked almost immediately upon their arrival. Tony had been struck in the head with what was believed to be a baseball bat. He suffered extreme blunt force trauma to the head and face and was stabbed 50 times in the chest, and his throat had been slit from ear to ear. Nikki had been stabbed 8 times in the back, once in each breast, and 4 times in the throat, nearly decapitating her. Their son, Emmanuel, had been stabbed with a wooden stake. They literally stabbed a 3-month-old little boy with a wooden stake. It had all been a setup from the very beginning. Now, after killing Dutoit and his family, Egger immediately, obviously, returned to Switzerland. The Genudes, however, active, you know, culties, they remained behind. And they had actually been given another task by DeMombro: prepare for their own suicides and to get ready to head to Sirius. Egger, when he had been in Quebec, gave them timers, and he had helped to install them into an ignition that was hooked up to several gas cans full of gasoline. Hours later, after his departure, the chalet exploded. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police quickly arrived at the scene, and upon the discovery of the Dutoit family, it was released to the press that the group had been under investigation for money laundering. Radio Canada reported that the cult was merely a front for money laundering and arms smuggling. And that is the moment that it took off in the media. And it was everywhere. It was in every province, all over the country. Everyone was talking about this new suicide-packed cult. Now, the wonderment and surprise over the deaths in Warren Heights, it wasn't long-lived. The very next day, on October 5th, homes began to burn against Switzerland halfway across the world. 53 additional cult members were discovered dead. Initially, the media believed it to be a mass suicide. However, and I mean, going into this story, that's what you think too, right? You think Heaven's Gate, mass suicide, that's where this is heading. However, after police and forensics teams investigated the scene, they discovered that 2 members had been smothered to death. An additional 21 had been given sleeping pills before being shot to death, and some of the victims had been shot in the head as many as 8 times each. 10 more of the members had been found with plastic bags wrapped around their heads, and several victims overall showed post-mortem signs of struggling. Some of these people died against their will. Unfortunately, escaping justice as a whole, Luc Jarret and Joseph de Mombro died in this particular explosion. But it doesn't stop there. A year later, in October of 1995, there was yet another incident. And this one threw the police off entirely because they thought Order of the Solar Temple was done. You know, the two leaders were dead in their own suicide explosion. The group couldn't have gone on, right? Well, yet another chalet in the Swiss Alps exploded, leaving 16 more victims dead in its wake. 16 more victims. And a note was left by one of the dead cultists. It read, quote, "It is with unfathomable love, pure joy, and no regret that we leave this world. Men, do not cry for our fate, but cry for your own." More than 500 French police officers were involved in the manhunt for whoever was responsible for this. Michel Tabachnik, a very famous Swiss classical composer, was actually indicted on charges of criminal conspiracy to commit murder and possession of stolen goods by the prosecutor in Grenoble, France. He was a dum-dum and had left an abandoned vehicle near the forest close to one of the chalets, and police identified it and connected it to him. Now, the prosecutor was able to determine that Tabachnik was a high-ranking member of the cult and focused on that car to connect him to the deaths in the French Alps. Unfortunately, Tabachnik was acquitted in 2001, but is still to this day the only high-level member of the cult to stand trial. So that was back in 1995. He was acquitted in 2001. In 1997, a fire broke out in a Quebec home in a similar fashion to all of the others. Explosion and then fire. Three teenagers, Tom, Fanny, and Julian Quays, lived through the ordeal. This particular suicide pact left five dead, including their parents and grandmother. Again, it was connected to the Order of the Solar Temple, based primarily this time on the date. It coincided astrologically with the vernal equinox, the first day of spring. And this particular case sent shockwaves again throughout Canada because it was believed yet again that the Order of the Solar Temple was no longer active, but that was once again proven false. I feel like this is almost like a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. It's kind of feeling that way. Police contacted authorities in both France and Switzerland and learned, in fact, that the group did still have active practicing members. Now, the coroner in this particular case, Yvonne Node, made his final report public. Four of the victims were alive when the fire started, dying from smoke inhalation after taking heavy doses of tranquilizers. The teen's 63-year-old grandmother died before the fire, but after taking a large dose of tranquilizers. During the investigation, scorched and still worn, police found official Order of the Solar Temple robes and also a ceremonial sword with the name of one of the victims inscribed on it. The three teenagers were immediately put into the youth protection services, but told police in an interview that their parents had turned the propane gas mechanism used to start the fire, like to ignite it. They had turned it on and off five times over the weekend because they couldn't decide if they really wanted to kill themselves. Unfortunately, no one was ever charged with this crime. The teenagers apparently helped their parents with the gas and the ignition mechanism, but due, I guess, to the circumstances, they were not charged either. Swiss police ended up closing the case on their end after the coroner and judge released their reports to the public, but families of 48 victims and former members all believed that the cult was still active and planning other, quote, transit ceremonies. So to close this out, guys, in total, 74 people who were involved with the Solar Temple cult died in Quebec, Switzerland, and France between 1994 and 1997. And if you want another additional what the fuck moment, the cult, the Order of the Solar Temple, is actually still active today. And I find that to be just so absolutely crazy. I mean, this is a group who's known Hollywood actors, oil barons, I mean, people from all over the world, wealthy millionaires, people involved in, like I said earlier, international governments from different continents joined this group and gave tens of millions of dollars, and it's still active and ongoing after 74 deaths. So again, this is the second deadliest cult in history based on the death toll alone from suicide. So this is going to tie up the Order of the Solar Temple, guys. What cult would you like us to discuss next? There are so many out there, surprisingly. I have a couple in mind too, but I would love to know which next cult you would like us to cover. So don't forget, you can reach out to us on social media. at We Saw the Devil or our website, wesawthedevil.com. We love it when you guys send us messages, so feel free to reach out there. And as always, if you're enjoying the show and want to become part of it, and then also maybe become a guest on the show on our Friday episodes for Patreon patrons, back us on Patreon. You can do that at patreon.com/wesawthedevil. Until next crime.